Judges chapter 2, and we want to just going to read one verse tonight, because I want to preach a message tonight about the greatness of God, how great our God is. You know, tonight there's a lot of people that are going to be sitting around their TV sets trying to figure out who is the greatest football player, right? You know, and people waste their time trying to figure out who's great in sports and who's great in this. And listen, there's no one can be compared with our God. Amen? Amen. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. In Judges chapter 2 and verse number 7, though, the Bible says this. And this is before, you know, Israel had all their problems in the time of the judges. It says this in verse number 7, "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel." The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for your word. Lord, we just pray that you'd strengthen and encourage us tonight through thy word. And Lord, as we look to the greatness of our God, Lord, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, there are many times that we read throughout the Bible, we study the Bible, and we look at the attributes of God, and we think of his love and his mercy and his kindness and his patience and his long-suffering. But you know, it does us well to look over and over again at how great our God is, because we live in a difficult time, amen? And we face challenges every day. It's easy to get discouraged when you look around outside and you look at the world and you listen to the world and hear everything that's going on. But what we need to remember that our God is greater than it all. Our God is greater than everything. For our God is God and there is none like unto him. He's the Almighty God. In Nehemiah chapter 6, says, "Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God." And all the people answered, "Amen and amen." And they lifted up their hands and they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord. Psalm 47 and verse 2, David said, "He is a great king." Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 10, Solomon says, "He is the great God that formed all things." But you know, Jeremiah said this, and two verses this evening. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10 and verse 6, "For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord God, thou art great, and thy name is great in might." And then Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." You know, I preached a message this afternoon up at Willimantic. We had a tremendous crowd up there this afternoon. It was, we just did a Friends Sunday, and it was just a good crowd. And I just took that simple verse, Jeremiah 32, 17, and spoke about the power of God and how great God was. And the greatest God thing that God could do was save you from your sin. And three people got saved this afternoon. Amen? And we praise the Lord for that. But tonight, I just want to bring your attention to the greatness of God. For my theme for 2022 is to see the greatness of God. See God do great things. And he already is doing great things. But first of all, you know, I just went through, and actually I looked up every time the word great is mentioned in the Bible. Every time the word great, you know, sometimes it's just good to do a word study. And I didn't even take time to look at his greatness. I just look at every time the word great is used. And boy, I tell you what, you come up with the truth about God's greatness. And I just want to you don't have to look, you're not going to have time to look all these up. All right? Exodus 14, his great work, which he did. They saw his great work when he wiped out the Egyptians and led Israel through the Red Sea, right? Exodus 32, his great power, his great work, his great power. Numbers chapter 4, his great mercy. Deuteronomy 11, his great acts. Deuteronomy 29, his great miracles. 1 Samuel chapter 12, great things which he did. 2 Samuel 23, great victory. Job 5, great things that are unsearchable. The things that God does, the great things. We can't even begin to search them all out. Right? We don't even understand the fullness of the greatness of God. Psalm 31, his great goodness. Psalm 136, his great wonders. Lamentations 3, his great faithfulness. Ephesians 2, his great love. 2 Peter chapter 1, exceeding great and precious promises. And those are just some of the ones that the Bible says, our God is great. His works are great, his power, his mercy, his acts, his miracles, his things, his victory, his goodness, his wonders, his faithfulness, his love. And, you know, and sometimes we forget to just look in amazement at how great our God is. But 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 22, David said this, wherefore thou art great, O Lord, for there is none like thee. There is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. This message isn't going to be real long tonight, but if you come away with one point, your God is great, then you got it. Now, don't all leave already, okay? But that's the point. Our God is great, and he's already doing great things in 2022. Just this afternoon, people got saved. But, you know, second of all, not only that, that's the truth of God's greatness. The truth of God's greatness spoken in Scripture. And it does us well just to remind ourselves, man, my God's a great God, right? Boy, my God is a great God. He is the Almighty God. But you know, it says there in Judges chapter 2 and verse number 7, the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord. Not only did they hear that God was great, but they had seen how great God was. And you know, I don't think we spend enough time just reminding ourselves of all the great things God has done in our lives. Who here tonight can tell me some great thing that God has done recently in your life? Anybody? What's something great that God has done in your life, just in the recent? Okay, not so recent. John.
He's restored my health.
Amen. All right. Amen. All right. God does great things. Listen, it says they have seen all the great works of the Lord. You know, Lamentations chapter 3, it says, great is thy faithfulness. And the faithfulness of God is one of those attributes of God that the Bible says it's great. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, listen, our church is a testimony to the greatness of the faithfulness of God. I was reminded just this week that our church, it's 180 years. 180 years that since this church started. 180 years. You can go down to Cedar Grove Cemetery. I showed Mark just yesterday or the day before. There's a monument in Cedar Grove Cemetery, a monument that's probably, I don't know, 12, 14, 16 feet high. I don't know how. Huge monument down there to the evangelist Jabez Swan. You know, you hear of all these great evangelists that were all in all these different places. Listen, there was a great evangelist from New London, Connecticut. You should go online and search out a used book called The Life of Jabez Swan. He was an evangelist in New London. He preached in room 15 in 1949 when that church was dedicated. The dedication of that building, there was an evangelist, Jabez Swan. And what a powerful preacher he was. He stood there in front of a church, in front of the, I forget the denominational name of the church. But he stood there in front of a denominational church that didn't preach the gospel. And they didn't preach. He stood on the steps of that church. And he said, I declare before God that one day this church will be ours and will preach the gospel. That church today is the Huntington Street Baptist Church. That wasn't always Huntington Street. He stood there and he preached and he says, God's going to give your church to us so that we can preach the gospel. That was in 18, I don't know when it was, but he preached in that building right over there in 1849. But you know, lest you think that everything just goes smoothly along the years, here's the faithfulness of God. In 1967, when Pastor Hunt came, well, there was only like a couple of families, right, John? In 1967, in the 60s, in the 1960s, people didn't think Lakes Palm Baptist Church was going to survive. There was a time, there was a couple of years where they just had hymn sings every month just to keep the doors open. In 1967, when Pastor Hunt came, there was just a couple of families. I've heard the stories that he told, and the bills, the debt. There were three mortgages on the place and bills, right, John? And he said people were coming in, but people were walking out with stuff. People come into church, and then they'd walk out with stuff. But you know what? God has been faithful to Lakes Palm Baptist Church. All these years, he's been faithful. Not only just faithful, but think of what he's done. Missionaries have been called to the field from Lakes Palm Baptist Church. Church planters is a man that will be preaching in just a couple hours, all the way in the state of Washington, Liberty Lake Baptist Church. Pastor Greg Wilt. I remember when he came in as a young Navy over at the sub-base school. He was a young sailor. He used to come over our house. And he just got charged up here and discipled and grew in the Lord. Got out of the Navy, went off to school, and now he's planting churches, and he's planting one out there in Washington State. You know, I was just thinking about the people that God has brought through Lakes Palm Baptist Church. And you can go from Maine all the way down through the coast, all the way to Florida. You can go over to Texas, where there's what's his name? David Finkel and his wife, right? You remember David Finkel, right, Nano? And the guy years ago, how many years ago, Nano? Years ago when Nano used to work at Dunkin' Donuts. Years ago when Nano used to walk in and just smile, time to make the donuts. Right, Nano? And one day, Nano said to this guy, Jesus loves you. Later on, that guy would come back. Nano would lead him to the Lord. And now he's witnessing to Jehovah Witnesses in Texas with his wife. You can go all the way out to California. You know, it's amazing. There's a man out in California. And he writes every year at Christmas time. His name is Ronald Chow. And he's from New London. He came to church here. He's a plastic surgeon in Hollywood, California. Imagine that. We raised plastic surgeons out of Lake Palm. But folks, there's people all spread out all throughout the United States. You go up to Washington State. You can go from Connecticut to Pennsylvania, where Rebecca's parents are, to Indiana, to Michigan. All the way across California, pastors and pastors' wives, and just missionaries, missionary wives, Christian school teachers, people just serving the Lord in their local churches. Now we even got people in Tennessee, right? You talk about a great God, right? There's people from Lakes Pond serving God in Tennessee. I never thought I'd see the day, right? I didn't know there were Christians in Tennessee. No, that's what they say about New England, by the way. But you know what? Our God's a great God. You know, let me go a step further. Baptist Bible Academy. Everybody here ought to thank God for the faithfulness of God when it comes to Baptist Bible Academy. Started in 1977. But I remember one year. I remember it was like yesterday. There was one year that this church had one of the most crucial business meetings in its life. You remember, John? This church had to sit here and make a decision before God because the financial picture of this church was bleak. Remember that time? How many folks were here remember this, right? And we as a church had to make a decision whether we were going to close the doors on Baptist Bible Academy forever or keep it open, because the money just didn't seem to be there. Every young people ought to praise God for the faithfulness of God, because this church sat here one night by faith and said, you know what? We can't shut it down. We can't close it. We're not going to close it. We're just going to trust God. And God has been faithful. God has been faithful. And one year, 2001, wasn't it 2001? 2000 and 2001, God blessed in his faithfulness. And we were able to put up $1 million school building. From a meeting where we were going to shut the doors and close it forever. And God turned it around and said, no, I'm going to bless, and you're going to put up a $1 million school building that the town of Waterford is going to come out and walk through, because they want to see what a good school building architecturally looks like. That's the faithfulness of God. And what God has done through Baptist Bible Academy. What God has done, you know, just think, not only through Lakes Pond Baptist Church, but for the students, missionaries, pastor, Eddie Grant, out there in Indianola. I don't even know how you say it. How many remember Eddie Grant? Remember Eddie? Yeah, kid would walk in every Friday from Norwich, come to Norwich. Had to pay his own tuition. Parents didn't have money to pay his tuition. Worked over at ShopRite over in Norwich. And every Friday he would walk in with his paycheck and put it down and say, put that towards my tuition, with a smile. Every week. Paid his own tuition as a young person to go through school. And today he's pastoring a church out somewhere out in the Midwest. You know, people like that. There's Don Labby. Don Labby, a wife of a missionary. And other people over and over again. And just so many people. And not only pastors and not only missionaries, but faithful members, just like many of you are. How many of you went through BBA? Look at all those hands, right? And every one of you is faithful. You know how I know you're faithful? Because you're here tonight, right? Okay. But anyways, the faithfulness of God. This year already, I've seen God turn hearts. I've seen God move mountains that I thought was unmovable. I've seen God answer prayers that I thought were unanswerable. I've seen God open doors for the gospel, among many other things. You know, this morning, the Pastor Donnie was live streaming, and after that, I went down to Citywide. I said, I'm opening the doors of Citywide. Now, there's a lot of people that have counted Citywide out. And I said, I don't believe Citywide's out for nothing. I believe God's going to do something great this year. And I know he is, because I saw it this morning. In the midst of that snowstorm, I pull up at Citywide Baptist Church at 11 o'clock this morning. I get out of my car, and there's one guy, standing on the steps, yells to me, we're going to be open, right? One man. We're going to be open, right? And I said, yeah, we're going to be open. I'm here. You're here. So we put the big open sign out, big open flag out. We go in, put the coffee on. It's just him and me, just two people. And I said to him, I said, Robert, where two or three are gathered. The Lord said, where two or three are gathered in my name. He says, I'll be there in the midst. He said, well, where's everybody else? I said, doesn't really matter. You're here and I here. Lord's here. Let's have a Bible study. So I sat down for 45 minutes and had a Bible study with this man, reading the Bible. And I made notes for him, because he said, can you make notes so that I can go home and teach my wife? So we sat down and I wrote out notes. We get all done with the Bible study and we're finishing up. And he goes, boy, that was good. Well, first of all, when he walked in, he says, wow, this is beautiful. We've renovated that front room, and a couple of weeks we're going to have an open house, but we've renovated. He says, this is beautiful. This is my church, and it's beautiful. And so we got done with that Bible study. We got done, and as we got done, we stood up. I looked outside, and this man is walking up with his bicycle. He had been to work at McDonald's from 4 o'clock to 11 o'clock, and he was just coming home. He lives up the street. His name's Julio. He's from Lima, Peru. So he's walking up, and I open the door. I says, Julio. I says, you want a cup of coffee? He said, no, he only speaks Spanish. I said, do you want a donut? By the way, you know how to say donut in Spanish? Donut. It works. All right, it works, okay? Okay, you know how to say McDonald's in Spanish? McDonald's in Spanish. But anyways, so he comes in. He sits down. For 20 minutes, I had the opportunity to share the gospel in Spanish to him. You know that gospel presentation? Went through the whole thing with him, June, in Spanish. Just use it. I took the Bible and I said, Julio, I said, you probably know Psalm 23. Jehovah me pastor, nada me faltará. He said, yeah. I said, you've probably heard of John 3:16. I says, I bet you've never heard this verse, 1 John 5:13. And I opened it up and I says, that you can know that you have eternal life. You should have seen the look on that guy's face. Sabes vida eterna? Sabes que tener vida eterna? He says, I can know to have eternal life. And I just went through that presentation. I shared the gospel with him. We get all done, and I said to him, I said, would you like to be saved? And he said, well, estoy muy cansado. He says, I'm very tired. And he said, what are the days you open? I says, tomorrow at 1. We're open tomorrow at 1. He says, what? I says, yeah, I'm having a Bible study tomorrow at 1. He says, you are? That's my day off. I said, great. I just scheduled a Bible study tomorrow at 1. You want to know what days are open? Tomorrow's the next day. We'll be open tomorrow. He says, I'll be rested. I'll come tomorrow. I'll come tomorrow at 1, and let's talk more about it. So I gave him a booklet and gave him a track and gave him a Bible. And he said, I'm going to go home and sleep. I'm going to read this. He said, I'll come back tomorrow at 1. So he leaves. So I go out the door as he's leaving. A couple pulls up, and they were going to their apartment, a couple that I know and talked to before, and I went out, talked with them. They came in and got donuts and went out. And I'm telling you, I went back to Robert, and Robert's just amazed. He's just amazed. And we had just talked about the power of God. I see, Robert, God is faithful. If we are just faithful, God is faithful. And he says, look what he did. He says, Julio. And this guy, Robert, he's just telling Julio, Jesus can save you. And the guy doesn't understand any English, and he's just looking at pretty much Robert and go, mm-hmm. And Robert's just, he can save you. But I'm telling you, that's what God is able to do. Listen, Psalm 71, verse 19, thy righteousness, O God, is very high, who hast done great things. O God, who is like unto thee? Great is the Lord, it says in Psalm 145, verse 3, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. And so number one, there's the truth about God's power. And the Bible says over and over, our God is great. Every way you look at it, he is a great God. And there's a testimony of God's grace. And we could go, you know, if we really stopped and talked about the greatness of God, how many times could we talk about how God great is? But here's the challenge tonight. What about the tomorrow of God's greatness? What about the tomorrow? Because you know what it says in Judges chapter 2, verse number 7? The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. You know, the more you see God do great things, the more you get excited. And I have a young man that got saved a number of years ago, and he was a drug dealer, and he got saved. And just this week, he told someone, he said, maybe someday I can stand up there and speak the word of God. Imagine that, a drug dealer that got saved. He says, maybe someday. He said to me, he said, when are we going to go to Ethiopia and visit Ray Hoover? And I said, well, I don't know. He says, this year. So we're planning a missions trip to Ethiopia to go see Ray Hoover. And here's a guy off the streets, gets saved, has a seed desire in his heart to someday just be able to stand up and tell people the word of God, and wants to go and visit someone on the mission field. That's how great God is, folks. And the Bible says when we see the greatness of God, you know what it does? It stirs us up to say, you know what? I'm going to serve him more. And so they served God. You know, I'm just going to say 2022 is not the year to sit around. It's the year to serve the Lord. Listen, Psalm 71 verse 19, thy righteousness, O God, is very high, who has done great things, who is like unto thee? Psalm 102 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Listen, you don't think I was excited coming home from Citywide this morning? Man, you don't think I was excited coming home from Willamette? You don't think I was excited to come to Lakes Pond tonight? Listen, I you know, if there was another place tonight, I'd go somewhere else tonight and sing about the praises of God. Amen? Amen. I'd go somewhere else. If there's another church open, I'd go and walk in, and maybe if the doors are shut and I got a key, I'll go and open the doors and just, I don't care if it's one person, two, 20, 30. Just how great our God is. Not only is it the year to serve the Lord, but it's the year to seek the Lord. You know, go to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah 32. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord for great things. Amen? Amen. Listen, God, look at Psalm or Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. There's nothing too hard for God. Stop thinking that what you got is greater than God's power. Stop thinking that your problem is the exception to the rule, right? Stop thinking that your relative that's unsaved is the one that can't be saved. No, start thinking God's way. There is no person beyond the power of God to save. What's weak is our faith. God's power is not weak. He says he'll open great and effectual doors for us. And Jeremiah 32 says, there is nothing too hard for God. And then we come to Jeremiah 33. And by the way, Jeremiah's in the pit. He's in the prison. Look what it says in 33. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish the Lord's name, call unto me. Jeremiah, you got a problem? You're in prison? Peter, you're in prison? You got a problem? Paul, you're in prison, you got a problem? John, you're in the Isle of Patmos, you got a problem? Daniel, you're in the lions, you got a problem? Shadrach, Meshach, you guys got a problem? Joseph, you got a problem? David, you got a problem? Church, you got a problem? God says, call unto me. He says, I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know, we are setting up down at, we renovated the room in the front of Willimantic, and we were starting to think about how to set it up. And I said to Allison, I said, we're not setting up furniture that is big and bulky and is going to take up room. We're going to set up furniture that we know is easily taken down, because pretty soon we're going to be running out of space and need those seats. Amen? I said, I don't want big couches that are going to take up room. I don't want big chairs that are going to take up room. I said, we need to start thinking about chairs so that we can have enough room for the people that are coming. Because already we're seeing the impact that we're having on that neighborhood. You know, talk about great and effectual doors. The other day we were down there we just put an open sign up and a pot of coffee on, and there had to be, a half a dozen people marked it that came through. One guy came through and just pointed out everything we were doing wrong in our construction, and that's okay. He got a gospel track. I don't care. Point it all out. And he was gracious about it, but he's just saying, you know, this should have been this. That. And I said, yeah. And have a cup of coffee. And more important, here's what you need to read. And he said, I'm going to come back. So it's a great year to seek the Lord. Call unto me, I will answer thee, show thee great things, mighty things which thou knowest not. And it's a great year to see the Lord, to see the Lord do great things. Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So tonight, I just wanted to encourage and challenge you. Listen, the truth of God's greatness. The Bible tells us over and over again how great God is. The testimony of God's greatness. The testimony goes on year after year after year, generation after generation, church after church, person after person. You know, let me give you two quotes. William Carey is one that we all know. He was a missionary, and he said this, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Expect great things for God and attempt great things for God. But then this other man, C.T. Studd, he was a missionary too. He said this, real Christians revel in desperate ventures for Christ. I like this one. Real Christians revel, it goes along with your message the other night about being a risk taker for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, stepping out for God is taking a risk, right? It's taking a risk. He says, real Christians revel in desperate ventures for Christ, expecting from God great things and attempting the same with exhilaration. What does that word mean, exhilaration? Oh, it means, what does exhilaration mean, Donnie? Whoa, say that again. Did you say you don't know? Okay, exhilaration. Doesn't it mean with great excitement and great just enthusiasm? Right? I stumped him. Wow, God is great. Anyways, but it says, real Christians revel in desperate ventures of Christ, expecting from God great things and attempting the same with exhilaration. And that's the way we need to be in 2022. We need to be Christians that are willing to step out for God, believe God, trust God, and expect God to do great things, whether it's people you're witnessing to, whether it's situations you got going on, whether it's just winning the lost or serving the Lord. Listen, 2022 is going to be a great year because God is great. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for your word. And Lord, I pray that your word has just strengthened our hearts and our faith tonight. Lord, as we look to thee, and Lord, thank you that you are God Almighty, that you are the all-powerful God, the great and mighty God, our God, our Savior, our Father, in whom we trust and for whom we serve. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.